Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. But can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all, hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, December 11th, 2017, and we're reaching back into the archives from a year ago to revisit some programs we did on some beloved songs that you'll hear now through the end of the year, as I had Kathleen Jennings in the studio talking about a book she loves called Stories Behind the Best Loved Songs of Christmas by Ace Collins. So today we'll hear about O Little Town of Bethlehem. Tuesday we'll feature O Come Emmanuel and Mary Did You Know. Wednesday we'll learn about Go Tell It on the Mountain and Away in the Manger. And then Thursday, Angels from the Realm of Glory, along with Joy to the World. So that'll be the lineup for the next 4 days, as we'll revisit those programs from last year, giving us some great insights into these beloved favorites, as I trust and pray you're really being blessed by our Christmas music. Well, on Saturday, wow, did the singing men do a great job at the Village Mall in Danville. They had to set up a number of additional seats, and we were so blessed by the response of those that attended. I can't think of the one lady's name. She was, I think, 96, came up with her grandson and just said she's a faithful listener to the station every day, loved the concert. And then sweet Dottie, her daughter who lives in Bloomington, picked her up. Dottie lives around the Danville area. I think she's 96 and a half. You may remember my interview with her from some years back, but I think she personally greeted and thanked probably 3/4 of all the singing men. She didn't want to miss out on any of them, but some of the guys left, but said she was thoroughly blessed and enjoyed the whole concert. I think you may remember Dottie last year at the age of 95 took a motorcycle ride. So we got lots of great responses from all those that attended, and we appreciate the Danville Mall and are now looking forward to this Saturday at noon, as we'll be singing at Marketplace Mall. It'll be the 19th year in a row, and that's located in Champaign on North Neal Street. Free concert at noon. It'll be our last concert for this season. It'll be a Christmas concert, so we'll be dressed in our tuxedos. And we'll be handing out the Prime Lifetimes newspaper, radio resources. We'll have our CDs available, 1 for $10, 2 for $15, 3 for $20. If you need that great stocking stuffer or Christmas gift, we'll have those CDs available. So come join us this Saturday at noon at Marketplace Mall. All right, here's how the discussion began, with me asking Kathleen Jennings, who's a retired teacher, a gifted artist, a historian, has traveled to Israel with me like 15 different times, married to St. John Jennings, a great friend and a faithful follower of Jesus. And I begin by asking her, why did she initiate and want to share stories behind the Best Loved Songs of Christmas by Ace Collins with our Great News Radio listeners? And this was her response.
Well, I've always loved the Christmas music, and I love history and stories behind events. And when I saw the book, I just picked it up at the table at a bookstore and was thumbing through it, and I found it really fascinating. The people that wrote the songs, some of them librettists, lived 100 years before the fellow that put everything to music. Mm-hmm. But things worked out very, very well, especially songs like O Little Town of Bethlehem. Now, that happened to be one of my mother's favorite Christmas carols, and I always loved it. But after reading the story about the writer, the composer of the music and so forth, I found it fascinating. And it's become one of my very favorites.
I'm reading from the back cover of this book called Stories Behind the Best Love Songs of Christmas by Ace Collins. And it says, learn the fascinating stories behind over 30 best loved Christmas songs. You've sung them since you were a child. Now learn how your favorite Christmas songs came into being. You'll gain surprising insights into their meaning, new appreciation for the heritage of faith they stand for, and new richness in your celebration of Christ's birth. So how about we do a few different readings?
Okay.
And I appreciate you contacting me. I love when our listeners, now you're way beyond a listener. Mm-hmm. You and John are dear, dear friends. In fact, Jason Schiffo on Friday before our morning program, John, if your ears were ringing, he was singing you praises. He says, I'm in Bible Study Fellowship, as you know, Mark. And I go, yeah, because he's really enjoyed Bible Study Fellowship. And because of various circumstances, I guess they reformed a couple of the different groups, and he's in a new group. And he said, that John Jennings guy, he loves God's word. He has a passion for the lost. I really appreciate him. I said, oh, John and Kathleen Jennings, I had been in a small group with them. What was it, about 15 years with the Duns? A long time.
Could have even been 20 years
ago.
Yeah,
it was some years ago, but for, I don't know, how many years did we meet? We met for many years, a lot of times. So
10 or 15.
I've known these dear friends for many years, and they've been a part of my life and a part of this ministry from the very beginning. I mean, you were part of that initial core group of the handful that when we were in Dr. Dunn's house and we were talking about a radio ministry, and Dr. Dunn, Dr. Bruce Dunn, not Dr. David Dunn, though David Dunn was very instrumental and also sits on the board, started sharing the concept of a radio ministry. And, you know, I think the Knoxes were a part of that when we even had that little cake in some of the ceremonies of, I think God's going to pull this together. And yeah, that goes back into like 1992 and 93, and then going on the air in 96. But it took a few years and a lot of prayers. And so we've had a friendship for many, many years, but you contacted me recently, and most anything you run by me, I know, is a good idea. You have a proven track record, and I appreciate your voice, too. We've attended the same church for many years also with Dr. Dave Webb and his Bible teaching, but sometimes he'd have you read scripture. And you and Nancy Miller have that kind of voice that, because you've been a teacher and you've read to children and you've read to your own children, it comes very natural. So I've appreciated your voice. And when you said, hey, Mark, why don't you read these stories over the air? I thought, no, why don't you read these stories? So thank you for joining me. And I should say that our listeners, as a disclaimer, they had no idea they were going to be a part of this morning program or that we were going to even do this. So, John, thank you for those remarks about the Great News Radio Center and, you know, being a part of things. I think, I don't know if you want to leave the room. I know you got other work to do, but appreciate John Jennings and being a board member. And I think we'll have Kathleen read a few of these stories from the book, Stories Behind the Best Love Songs of Christmas, by Ace Collins. There's probably time for you to purchase copies. And I think, Kathleen, you have the book in front of you, but didn't you say you also wrote a couple other editions?
Yes, there is a sequel to this particular book. And then he's also written a book about the traditions Christmas and the story behind the traditions. And I find them all very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think I might have to even contact him to see if there's still time to maybe interview him on.
He'd probably love that.
Yeah, but appreciate you contacting me. I think the point I was going to make is I love when listeners, and in this case, friends, take the initiative, have an idea, and then call me up or relay it through an email or something and say, what do you think about this? And then, you know how I work my magic. Oh, come on over. Hey, why don't you do it? And come on in, John. Let's have a conversation.
In other words, it's sneaky.
Yeah, that's right. God orchestrating
that,
it.
Okay,
so I thank him for that, for this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. So do you have a favorite of these many, or is this one that, like, you started sharing, had unique meaning for you as you learned about it?
This first one, O Little Town of Bethlehem, had unique meaning for me because of the experiences that led to the writing, to the composing of this song.
Okay.
There are others that I tried to go through and pick out the popular ones that people are familiar with. Mm-hmm. Some I wasn't real familiar with, particularly in the second edition of the book. But they all have such deep, deep meaning and are based on Scripture and the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I found them all very, very fulfilling to read.
So what I think I'll do is I'll have you do this reading, and I'll follow it with the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
On December 24, 1865, Phillips Brooks was a half a world away from home and feeling like an older man than his 30 years. Already recognized as one of the most dynamic Christian voices in America, it was Brooks, only 6 years into his ministry, who had been called upon in May to give the funeral message over President Abraham Lincoln. That solemn honor, in tandem with leading the congregation of Philadelphia's Holy Trinity Church through the bloody years of the Civil War, had taken its toll. Worn out and badly needing a spiritual rebirth, Brooks took a sabbatical and left the United States to tour the Middle East. On Christmas Eve in Jerusalem, the American felt an urge to get away from the hundreds of other pilgrims who had journeyed to the Holy Land for the holidays. Although warned that he might encounter thieves, the preacher borrowed a horse and set out across the desolate and unforgiving countryside. For many peaceful hours, he was alone with his thoughts as he studied a land that had changed little since the days of Paul and Timothy. For the minister, December 24th was a wonderful time of prayer and meditation. At dusk, a sudden sense of awe fell over Brooks. Under a clear sky, the first stars just beginning to emerge, he rode into the still tiny and remote village of Bethlehem. He recalled the story of the birth of his Savior, and by being present in the place in which Jesus was born, was able to add vivid detail to the familiar tale in Scripture. The great speaker was all but speechless as he considered the heavenly King born in such modest surroundings. There, on streets almost unchanged since biblical times, Brooks felt as if he were surrounded by the spirit of the first Christmas. He would later tell his family and friends that the experience was so overpowering it would forever be singing in my soul. Like the path from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, Phillips Brooks' own life had often been rocky and winding. At the age of 22, the Harvard graduate was a struggling teacher at Boston's Latin School. Though his knowledge of his subject was great, he found it all but impossible to teach because his students wouldn't devote the effort Brooks felt was needed to master the course. Frustrated, Brooks gave up. Lacking faith in himself, the young man turned to prayer and Bible study in an effort to find his place in the world. Still unsure of his future, Brooks entered Episcopal Theological Seminary and began pastoral studies. After graduating in 1859, he began his ministry in Philadelphia. What he had lacked in the classroom, he made up for in the pulpit. His messages were powerful and dramatic. In 1861, he was called to lead the congregation of the Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia. No sooner had he unpacked his Bible than Brooks contacted well-known real estate agent Louis Redner. The preacher convinced the super salesman to serve as Sunday school superintendent and organist at Trinity. Together, they welcomed 30 children to their first Sunday's morning class. Within a year, thanks to Brooks's preaching and Redner's music, the Sunday and Wednesday services were filled to overflowing, and 1,000 children were attending Sunday school each week. Over the next 2 years, these numbers continued to build. Yet even as Holy Trinity grew and his fame spread far and wide, he was growing physically and spiritually tired. By 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, the national spirit was dying almost as quickly as the soldiers on the battlefields. Everyone knew someone who had been killed or gravely injured in the conflict. Scores of women in the church wore black as they mourned the loss of a husband or a son. While the preacher tried to fight it, darkness fell over every facet of the services. Brooks was severely taxed each time he stood in front of his congregation. They wanted him to be inspirational, to believe that good things in life they had once known would someday be theirs again. They wanted an end to the war. Yet even though he made a valiant effort, the preacher couldn't give his flock what they needed most, peace. When the war finally ended, the visibly fatigued Brooks felt that the sweetness of life and the soul would soon return to his flock. Yet the pain only intensified when President Lincoln was assassinated. Although he was not Lincoln's pastor and felt ill-prepared to preside over the ceremony, Brooks was asked to speak at Lincoln's funeral because of his reputation as an orator. Digging deep, he found words to fit the moment, but seeing a great leader senselessly slain and the exhaustion of the effort itself left him void of everything he needed as a pastor. In an attempt to rediscover and restore his own faith, he left the pulpit to visit the Holy Land. It was a trip that dramatically changed his life and renewed his calling. The dark days ended, the joy of living returned, and his positive attitude again became apparent in his every step and word. Returning from his sabbatical with renewed vigor, Brooks tried to relate to his congregation the incredible experience of walking where Jesus had walked. Yet Brooks's unparalleled oratory still fell short. For the next 3 years, the singing in his soul remained strong, but his inability to share the stirring imagery haunted him to such an extent that he wrote the following note in his journal. "Before dark, we rode out of town to the field where they say the shepherds saw the star. It's a fenced piece of ground with a cave in it, which, strangely enough, they put shepherds in. Somewhere in those fields we rode through, the shepherds must have been. As we passed, the shepherds were still keeping watch over their flocks." He also added this experience to the log of his trip. "I was standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where Jesus was born, when the whole church was ringing an hour with the splendid hymns of praise to God. How again and again it seemed as if I could hear voices I know well telling each other of the Savior's birth." Still, even after reliving this rich experience, inspiration about how to convey these amazing moments to his flock did not visit the preacher. When Brooks looked ahead to the holiday season of 1868, he again thought of riding into Bethlehem at dusk and the church service that had followed. This time he didn't force the words out. He simply relived the experience and jotted down the lines that seemed to float into his head. His thoughts soon took the form of a poem, and when he finished, he hurried to share it with Lewis Redner. While reading the simple words, Redner finally understood the power of what Brooks had experienced. To further share this message, the organist tried to compose music to accompany the poem. For hours he struggled at the piano. Finally, on December 24th, as Redner went to bed, he was forced to admit he had failed. Just as Brooks had been unable to find dynamic oratory to fully describe what he had experienced in Bethlehem, Redner was unable to compose a majestic rhapsody to carry the preacher's simple words. It was only in his bed, long after he had given up his efforts, that the organist found an unadorned and straightforward tune. Rubbing the sleep from his eyes, Redner discovered the tune given to him in slumber perfectly fit Phillips Brooks' words. "As if blessed by God himself on Christmas morning, O little town of Bethlehem was complete." For the next 6 years, O little town of Bethlehem was a Philadelphia favorite. Printed in cheap leaflet form, almost every church in the city used it during their Christmas services. In 1874, William Huntington published Brooks' impressions and Redner's music in the Church Porch Music Collection. By the time of Phillips Brooks' death in 1893, O Little Town of Bethlehem had become one of the most beloved Christmas carols in the world. Phillips Brooks is now recognized as the greatest American preacher of the 19th century. His first volume of sermons sold more than 200,000 copies when released in 1878 and is still read and studied today. There is even a building named for the preacher at Harvard University. Yet it's the songwriter, not the preacher, whose work millions now know and cherish. It's the simple language of a common traveler in search of spiritual renewal that continues to touch lives today. In a sermon, Brooks once said, It is while you are patiently toiling at the little tasks of life that the meaning and shape of the great whole world of life dawns on you. On a horse, in a tiny village, a half a world away from his home and family, the meaning of Phillips Brooks' life and the purpose behind his work were brought into sharp focus. Since that time, millions have been blessed because of his ability to share his revelation with the world.
What a great reading and story. This is an excerpt, one of the chapters out of Stories Behind the Best Loved Songs of Christmas by Ace Collins. The voice you were hearing was that of Kathleen Jennings. And we're going to close out the program with the song you just heard about now that you know the rest of the story, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Town of Bethlehem, how still